one sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Listen, brother, whatever it takes to get the grace of God in abundance, head out in that direction. No grace, no power, no peace. So I believe I'll look at Absalom for a moment. Absalom. And I'll not go into the detail of saying he had long hair and a lot of hair and a lot of rebellion and he rebelled against his dad. But finally, I read again where he got confused because of his advisors. Ahithophel and Hushai. One told him one thing, one told him another. One was sent out there to confuse him and told him, one of them said, let's take about 12,000 men. And oh, listen, one of them said, you don't know your old dad. You don't know your old dad. He's like a bear robbed of her whips. And said he's a man of war. Oh, if you've ever run into a soldier, you better be prepared when you go to face him. Listen, even though David, and I tell you it's a hard decision for him to make, his one great statement, like the statement of Jesus when he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. He said, deal gently with the young man, Absalom. I've often wondered, I don't know the answer maybe, but I'll throw it at you. What if David, and of course he came to the place when they didn't want him to go fight anymore. They said, you're our leader. We don't want our leader to get hurt. Let us die for you. Let us die for you. Let us go fight the battle. But what do you suppose if the war and Absalom had gathered a great army and was heading toward his old dad? What if maybe they'd have let David go to war and they'd have gotten out there and David and the old soldier, scars, age and years, and he looked up. What if, I'm just surmising, what if he looked up and said, there comes my son? Think about Absalom coming with a sword, looking at his dad, and David had his sword in his hand. What's the old soldier going to do? I said, what? There comes a young expert, he thinks. And there comes an old soldier that never lost a battle that we know of. Reckon what he'd do. I mean, just reckon. He's a man after God's own heart. I leave that with you. But I know one thing. God spared him two times. He spared him from killing or fighting against his own son. And he spared him from fighting against his own people when they gave him an honorable discharge from a dishonorable army and sent him home to Ziklag. Now, sad as it may seem, when Absalom hung himself in the bough of the trees, no doubt by his hair, the mule walked on and he died. Did you know that Absalom didn't have any children? And Absalom set up a big statue for himself. And he called it Absalom's place. Yeah. I'll make me a place. And did you know that he was buried in a hole in the ground, in a pit, in a deep pit. And people think of Absalom's place as a disrespect to a dishonorable soldier that died fighting. He found his place, all right. Is that the place you boys are looking for, you girls? Oh, I tell you, I heard the mother call me, the dad call me, the little girl used to sit right there. And she turned her back on the Lord. Now then, she's tied up in the courts, and they wanted to go to the psychiatrist, and she's listening to the call of the world, and she's trying to listen to the call to come back, and she's fighting the battle. The next 24 hours will tell the story about the outcome of that little girl's life. You better be careful. When somebody's going down, don't shove them, pick them up. But if you're spiritually well, now then, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. This is that tremendous 10:4, isn't it? 10:4. Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 4. When you get to your place, don't leave it. Don't let somebody get you out of the place God had for you. Ecclesiastes 10:4. If the spirit of the ruler rise up against thee, leave not thy place. For yielding pacifieth great offenses. I've sure had some golden opportunities to leave my place. The welfare said, brother, well, I'll come over in the place. The preachers have said, and oh, I'm ashamed of some of those little loop-legged preachers. They said, we've operated children's home for years, and we've been licensed, and we've never been bothered. Yeah. Now, more than likely, those people are lying.
Right.
I don't know how God's going to bless a bunch of liars like that. Oh, listen, dear friends. Nobody can operate a state home from a church house without being bothered if he walks with the Lord.
Right.
In the first place, your conscience ought to keep you awake at night. You've admitted that what God gave you is not sufficient to go by. And you've asked Egypt and the world. And folks, there's no need beating around the bush about it. The government represents the world. The public education system, why, it's a matter of survival now for the teachers instead of education. People live, I got a picture that somebody sent me, a teacher's embraces and will be the rest of her life because of one of the pupils. Her nerves are gone, and yet no damage was ever given. Just because a student came in and beat her all the way to the floor and walked off and bragged about it and said, I want you to know I hit her as hard as I could. And her neck is out of place, her body's out of place, and her body's completely wrecked. She's unable to go to the schoolroom anymore. And yet, preachers are saying, we're willing to accept their accreditation. We're willing to accept their license. There's not a preacher listening to my voice, but knows he's a coward when you do it. I don't say you could compromise the book that your mother read, that you heard when you got saved and got called to preach. Now then, I'd like to talk with you about another man that found his place. There was a man by the name of Judas. There are two things, there are two places that Judas is known for. One of them is the place of prayer. Did you know John chapter 19 and verse 2? The Bible said, and 18 and verse 2, Judas knew the place where Jesus prayed, because he all resorted thither. Now, fellas, you may know the place of prayer, but you got to know the person to pray to.
Amen.
You've got, the place won't take the place of the person. Can you imagine Judas going to prayer meeting so many times with Jesus, and yet he never prayed? He stayed lost. And that's one warning I'd like to give you boys and the girls. Just going to the house is not going to save you.
Amen.
Oh, you've been to the place, but have you been to the person?
Amen.
Judas, and I tell you, I want to warn everyone, if Judas could walk by the side of Jesus, see the miracles, hear him pray, and see what he saw and hear what he heard and go to hell, what about you? You'll have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And then last of all, Judas committed suicide. And the question is being raised today more than ever before, because this is the suicidal generation. Back when I was a kid, nobody ever killed themselves. Some of us thought we was going to kill ourselves working too hard, but we didn't. Melvin Edel and Lester, we'd get out there sometimes and said, I believe Dad's going to kill us with hard work, but he didn't. And they just wasn't in suicides back in those days. Wasn't any psychiatrists. There wasn't any mental wards back in those days. There wasn't a mental ward in our county. Not a one. Wasn't any juvenile shelters except in my daddy's house. He knew how to take care of juveniles. Keep them from being juveniles. You know how my daddy kept me from being a juvenile delinquent? He just said, no! That stopped it right there. Just think, just two little letters in one syllable. I said, Dad, they're going over here tonight. I thought maybe I'd go if you don't. No! Sometimes it took a lot of courage for me to ever even try to remonstrate or whatever that meant. I said, well, Dad, it just seemed like nearly... I said, no! I went off behind the bushes or in my bedroom, and I said, well, okay, it's no. I didn't appreciate it. I didn't tell him so. Now, let me tell you something. I made some sin plans. I really did. I can remember. I definitely made me some sin plans. My daddy tore them all to pieces. I didn't even have one piece of my sin plan, and he tore them up with no. Boy, you ought to have had a daddy like that. You girls ought to have mothers and dads like that. Of course, I'd ease off in the kitchen when I knew my daddy was far enough away. I said, Mama, I don't see why I can't do what other young people do. Mama said, well, now, your daddy's right, son. Your daddy's, he's right about it. And I thought, oh, man, they both of them are getting me now. listen, you know why? I didn't have sense enough to take care of myself. Some of those boys, not many, some of them had already told me and taught me a few things and about the world. I said, man, I'd like to find out for myself. Daddy said, nope, not going to do it. Judas went out and committed suicide. And the Bible said he found his place. He went to his own place. That's hell. There was a rich man. Fared sumptuously every day. Beautiful robes, carriages, all the fineries of life. There was a beggar that was laid at his gate full of sores. And the dogs came, licked his hands. He looked up and said, maybe yonder comes Dr. Dog. Dr. Dog? Yeah, that's right. The dogs, if they licked their own sores and got well, the poor man said to the dogs, would y'all come and lick my sores for me, please? No more hungry dogs. Maybe they came. I don't know. I've never said this. Maybe the man brought him some food, and that brought the dogs. And he might have said, if you lick my sores, I'll share my meal with you. The preacher jumped up and said, the man went to hell for not feeding the poor man. You don't find that in the Bible. I'll tell you in a moment why he went to hell. He went to hell because everybody else goes to hell when they go. But it seems to me that maybe he did bring him something to eat, because why would the dog show up? And so the poor man said to the dogs, I'll share my dinner with you. And the dog said, we'll lick your sores in exchange. And with their saliva-filled tongues, they licked his sores. Maybe it did him some good. But the Bible said The rich man died and went to hell. And the Bible said in hell, he lifted up his eyes and said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus. Reckon why he said, send Lazarus. He might have could have said, well, I fed him food. Let him bring me some water now. See? You'd say, well, why do you think the man went to hell? I don't have to think. He went to hell because he didn't repent.
Amen.
That's what the Bible said. Well, he said, there's a gulf fixed between me and you. Nobody going either way. No traffic anywhere between. Well, he said, I have five brethren. Send them back to the earth, lest they come to this awful place. And maybe they'll repent. That's it. That's what sends people to hell. They don't repent. I ask you girls tonight, I ask you boys, little old girl on the phone said, I'm living with my honey. Yeah. She's not willing to repent. Listen. Hardly ever a boy comes in. Said, well, this is just not what I thought it's going to be. I didn't think it was a place like this. You didn't? This is the kind of place it ought to be. If all these old boys got hip, you could get hip. You're not any extra special super duper chunk of dirt. You're just common clay like the rest of us. Get on in the mold and let God make you. Girls, that goes for you too. Little girls come in and said, well, why can't I have chewing gum and why can't I wear my jeans and why can't I eat potato chips and why can't I smoke cigarettes and why can't, why? Well, because you've already done all of that and didn't help you any. Y'all been doing that all your life. I don't understand. Mother, they don't even have a television set. Well, I got news for you. You had four in your home. You had one stuck in the bedroom, the den, and the back porch and everywhere else, and you've lived in that nasty box. Why do you want to continue to do it?
Amen.
We'll give you, if we haven't got anything better than television, we might as well close up in there.
Amen.
If we didn't have anything better than that bunch of hussies out of Hollywoods and lesbians and homos that are coming in the living room, I'd get up in a bidding meeting and I'd say, I move you, Mr. Chairman, if Mr. Cameron is the chairman, that we close this thing down yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm again keeping it open any longer because we don't have anything to offer. But brothers, as long as we got what we've got to offer, and that's a living Christ and hope and peace and joy, we're going to keep on going the way we've been going. Judas went to his own place. I believe I'll show you an old man. This will be all. There's never been a man that I think had so many different and long experiences. He had his life divided into three 40-year sections. The first 40 was in Egypt. The second 40 in the wilderness, the third 40 back in the wilderness. He spent 80 years in the wilderness. 80 years. He saw the Red Sea open. He saw Pharaoh with 10 plagues on him and death everywhere. He saw manna fall from heaven. He saw water bubble from the rock. He saw a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. He saw quail come in from the east and land, as the little boy said, on a Scott towel. Listen, he had the power of God. He saw Miriam, his own sister, take leprosy when she rebelled at her brother's leadership. He saw the sons of Korah fall in a crack in the ground because they rebelled against his leadership. He saw many things take. He saw the people make a golden calf and march around it with their clothes off. He drew the line and said, get on the Lord's side. Moses, now then, life is about over. The years have told on him. I imagine some wrinkles have come. His hair might have turned to silver, and he's at the end of the trail. And the Lord talked with him like he would a friend. He said, Moses, we've had a lot of good times together. And he said, yes, we really have. He said, from the time that you were born and your mother called you a proper child and they passed the law to kill all the children like you, he said, Moses, I put you in the ark of the bulrushes and took care of you. He said, yes. He said, I got your mother to be your babysitter and trainer. He said, I met you at the burning bush, Moses. He said, yes, that was a wonderful experience. He said, I walked with you in Pharaoh's inner office and told him to just turn them loose and let them go. He said, yes. He said, we crossed the Red Sea together, didn't we? He said, yes, we did. He said, Moses, you've seen a lot of things, haven't you? And he said, indeed and in truth, Lord. These eyes have just seen things unlawful to behold. And the Lord said, all right, I got one more question. What would you like to see now? Just what would you like to see? You've seen the power. You've seen the enemy fall. You've seen old Pharaoh's chariots sink and chariots sink. And you've seen so many. Now he said, what would you like to see? And I think Moses stared away toward the holy place and said, Lord, show me your glory. I'd love to see your glory. Not interested in just battles and people. I'd love to see your glory. And the Lord said, Moses, there's a place by me. And thou shalt stand upon a rock. And he just got a little bitty glimpse of the glory. Because if he'd have seen too much of the glory, it'd have killed him. Show me thy glory. What do you want to see tonight? Savior, more than life to me, I am clinging, clinging close to thee. May thy tender love applied keep me ever, ever near thy side. Every day, every hour, just let me feel thy cleansing power. May thy tender love to me bind me closer, closer, Lord, to thee. Let's stand together while every head is bowed tonight. What would you like to see? Would you like to see his glory? We saw many victories. Many precious young people saved, mothers and dads saved, kinfolk saved. But oh, that was just the boot camp. Remember one thing, we'll never be any greater than we are good. Somebody said, God blessed America because she's been good. When she ceases to be good, she'll cease to be great. That's right. That's true of the Roloff Enterprises. The Christians that hear me, read your Bible every day. Tell him what you ought to tell him. New boys and girls, come to the altar and settle this thing tonight. You'll love it a lot better.
We are delighted that you joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. Our message today was entitled, Are You in the Right Place? To receive this CD, ask for offer number RO2832, and include $10 to help us with shipping and handling. We'd like to have today's date and the call letters to this station. To order by credit card, call toll-free 1-800-772-7507. The address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403.
When sin and strife came in my life and took control, I knew that nothing I could do would save my soul. I brought my heavy load of guilt to God in prayer. He laid my sins beneath the cross and left them there. I'm living now.
For our special offer for August, we have a recording from the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises Library. I believe that you'll receive a blessing by these inspired messages and song. To receive it, ask for offer number RO830. The title of the album is Unspeakable Love.
Since Jesus came and took my shame beyond a doubt, I've just begun to see what life is all about. I've moved up on a higher plane where joys abound, and from this mountaintop of love I won't come down. I'm living now.
The Sunshine Quartet sang and traveled with Brother Roloff in revivals for many years, and some of the titles of the songs are God's Last Altar Call, I Still Like the Songs That Mama Sang, Victory Was Won, Hold On, and many more. When requesting this CD, ask for offer number RO830 and include an offering of at least $12. Permit me a moment to encourage you to help lift the financial load this summer. We certainly do not want to cancel any of the radio station, but we want to keep paid up with our bills, and sometimes that is a little bit tough, so we definitely need your help. Now, to use your credit card, call toll-free 1-800-772-7507 or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. This is Gene Price thanking you for your help and love and support this summer. And we'll be looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee.